What am I doing?
All right, welcome to the Toddcast. I am your host, John Engel. I am with Bo, per usual. And also tonight, we have a very super special guest. Super special guest. Great friend of mine, the lovely and talented Sorasan.
Hello. Bring my wine.
Right? Feed me the line. I don't know what's going on. So hopefully this kicks on to the into the Facebook feed. I'll leave that up for a little bit just to see. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about housekeeping real quick. We have a couple events coming up at your local NDC, mostly in Elwood, actually. So we have this Saturday is the last Saturday for the VFW sale, 25-cent comics. Todd added 50,000. It was either 5,000 or 50,000 more books for it this week. So make sure you go check it out. And then make sure you check out the warehouse sale, which is the first weekend of November. It's a dollar on Thursday, 50 cents on Saturday. I'm sorry, dollar Friday, 50 cents Saturday, quarter Sunday, all new selection, never before seen or shopped. Go check it out. All right. Now we're going to do comic talk where Bo and I will talk about stuff and Sora will go, oh, that looks cool.
smile, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And randomly our dogs will all show up in all three of our screens. It'll be great. My first book is Iron Man number 2 from Marvel. So I really enjoyed the first book of this. I was really excited to check out the second book. The part that I'm really pumped about is the fact that Korvac is back, and this is how Korvac's gonna come back. But the rest of the book, all of the middle stuff, to me, very filler, not super great, not a great showing for an issue 2, Marvel, way to go. but the art was phenomenal. Cardiac makes appearance in here, which, you know, where the hell has he been forever? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. And I just find it weird that, you know, Tony's like just all about Hellcat right now. So it's just very, very weird to see that part too. Mm. Come here. Stop licking my leg.
Did they continue like after the first issue? It was like Twitter bubbles or text bubbles like the whole time?
The first issue had those, and then he deletes his account in the middle of it. So stop seeing that. So
see, I didn't remember that. I stopped after that issue. I was just like, oh, this is just getting to me with all like the social media stuff and whatnot. So it was weird.
No, this one was way less weird. So
All right. Cool covers though.
Yeah.
So very nice covers. The first book, I've been actually waiting on this for a couple weeks. It's called Necromorphous. Cool. I guess that's how you pronounce it. It's by Behemoth Comics. Mm-hmm. Behemoth's actually been pretty cool lately. They've had Hotline Wildlife, which I think was based off a video game, like an online game or whatnot, but it's real action-packed. And this one, because I kept on getting them, they weren't getting shipped to me, and you know, they just didn't show up for a couple weeks. But it's black and white, and basically what the concept is that it's a 16-year-old boy, and he is able to shapeshift by touching dead, like anything from a dead person. He just has to touch it. Basically, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Basically, he goes into and like literally lost my train of thought now,
dude.
So
this is so bad. My dog keeps licking my leg, and I'm like trying to pay attention to you, and I'm like.
Oh, goodness. But anyway, someone ends up being after him, finds out his power, and he's working with a psychologist to try to figure out, like, how to accept himself as a 16-year-old boy instead of, like, switching into somebody else. So, real kind of Halloween scary concept. But, all right, there we go. After I had a brain fart and couldn't remember what the book was about. I'm, like, sitting here, I'm like, really, Bo?
Jeez. That's an impression on you.
Oh, gosh. But it was actually a really cool book. It is black and white, but the art's really cool. So, try it out.
Cool. All right, my second book is... The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Presents Madam Satan number one. And I mostly bought this. I actually bought the variant because it's the Robert Hack cover to support my bro, Robert Hack.
Can I see that one more time?
This is not the Hack cover.
Oh,
this
it's
is
not the regular Hack one. Cover. I didn't
no,
get
the Hack cover I have somewhere across the room in a stack somewhere.
I did
somewhere.
Not get those. It was unfortunate.
I really kind of dug it because it was almost like a prequel to... Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It's basically how Madam Satan came about into that universe. Like it's not any of the creative team that did the Sabrina book at all. Like the original book, but it just really worked with it. Awkwardly, no goat fucking in this one. Actually, there is goat fucking. I'm sorry. Total goat fucking. So,
wait, like actual?
Well, like it's like where she's, you know, she's married to Satan, and therefore they are in bed. And let me see if I can find the panel.
Is Satan a goat?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Satan's a goat. Nice. Goat fucking right there.
Nice.
Every time I see Mike from Archie, all I can talk to him about is, so when am I going to see goat fucking in Sabrina? And he's like, we shot it. It's just never going to hit the floor. It just hit the cutting room floor.
Which is weird because I'm pretty sure they had similar, like they had goat fucking, I think, in, oh God, what was that? True Blood. I think it was
yeah.
True Blood. They had goat fucking in True Blood, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I haven't seen that show in a long time, though.
Wait, HBO? Showtime?
That was HBO. That was HBO.
Yeah.
That was the only reason I had HBO for a while.
That show was like watching a train wreck. It was so great. Like,
oh, I know.
Gloriously. Oh.
It was all right for the first like two or three seasons, and then it just kind of went completely off the rails.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry.
All right, it's okay. All right, Bo, what do you got?
We'll continue with the vampire.
More goat fucking.
It does have a goat on the front of it. Yes, it does.
Look at that!
I guess you'd say. But I was talking to you about it the other day. I did not order this. It's by Second Sight. Are you familiar with Second Sight? I am not either. So that's the company. I thought it was SourcePoint. It was not. So I missed it. I didn't know about it. Didn't order it through Diamond, anything like that. And wanted to try it out because it was a mix between how the Manson family would act if they were like a cult, a coven of vampires. Basically it's, you know, they're committing all the crimes and it's coming down to it. Like, you know, who's in charge. There's like this vampire, Charles Manson, like S guy. So, it's really cool. I had to get mine off eBay, but they was just a couple bucks and they made some announcement about it now that it was option. But if you get a chance, can download it, something like that, check it out. It's called Cult of Dracula.
That is cool.
It's just it was a cool concept.
My last book. And this was totally not planned. So I've been on sort of vacation, sort of the last 2 weeks where I've been working intermittently. And with our new POS systems, I usually just figure out where I'm going to be on New Comic Day. And I send in my order through Comic Hub and I go pick it up. So this week I put everything through at the waterfront. So when you go to do that on like, if you log in on your account on like a Monday in your customer portal, it says like the thing's coming out Wednesday. So I saw this book on there and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to splurge. It was like $15, but it's hilarious. And it is the DC Comics Christmas Carol, We Wish You a Harley Christmas book. Now, this is a hardcover digest size book. And this is they just changed the letters of, or the words of actual songs to fit DC characters. like Hark the Parademons Sing, Glory to Their Planet's King, On the World Apocalypse, Almost Hail That Dark Side Is.
Nice. Wait, I have a question. Sure. have a valid question. But do they include Batman Smiles and Robin Laid an Egg?
No. But
what
it's,
the hell?
But it's all Harley'd up.
But that's Gotham.
Hold on, I gotta find it. But
I'm disappointed.
No, you know what's awesome though? What? They do a Baby It's Cold Outside. And okay. And it's Black Canary and Green Arrow singing. Nice. Yeah. Nice. I'm trying to find it. There's one for Zatanna called like She Made a Rabbit Disappear, which is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Oh, come on. There's a Swamp Thing one. Oh, it's Birdie, It's Cold Outside.
Oh, that's cute.
So it's like you really can't stay, but Birdie, it's cold outside. I've got an early day, but Birdie, it's cold outside. It doesn't get as super creepy.
Have you seen that meme that's like the animal, or it's like the birds of paradise, and they're like, Becky, let's smash.
No.
This whole party is called, like, it's like him going, wow. Black Canary, let's smash.
Yeah, kind of. They did the dreidel song as the Dead Man song. Oh man. It's Jingle Bells, Harley Swell. Batman's Just Okay. My New Look is Off the Hook, So Who Needs Mr. J? And it's got like multiple verses and stuff. It's actually pretty cool. I actually
like drunk sing with your friends on Christmas.
I really think that I'm going to order a couple of these and send them to some of my fraternity brothers, because we're all in a music fraternity, and I think this would be hilarious to go caroling with.
Yes,
we're the guys that'll do it.
Yes.
Right.
Have you ever actually been caroling?
Yeah, actually, every year, my fraternity guys and I go. We usually go to the Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh and carol. But of course, this year with all the restrictions, that's not going to happen. But we normally do that every Christmas time, like usually the week of Christmas at some point. And I've also done the door to door style. That sucks because it gets real cold.
I just imagine it would get awkward. I mean, I've always seen caroling. I mean, I grew up most of my childhood in South Korea and Japan. So like, I knew what caroling was from like movies and TV shows, but I've never experienced it. No one's ever come to my door. So like, if it ever happens, I think I would be like a very excited person. Like, I'm going to make you guys hot cocoa. Hold on. Like, can I try and do it? And it'd be like Starbucks hot cocoa. It's like, it's the good shit.
Oh, right. I may see if I can make that work out. We'll see how that goes. all right. So something that came out this week on Hulu was the Hellstrom show, which is based on the Marvel Comics, Damien Hellstrom and Zatanna. So to, let's say, dumb it down for people, they made it Damon and Anna Hellstrom. It's very much similar to if you guys have watched like Evil or Prodigal Son or like any of those kind of like thrillery. It's more thrillery than it is supernaturally. Even like I would even say like sort of like Silence of the Lambsy kind of vibe. Like it's more like a detective-y thriller. And they kind of do Damon's character justice, because, you know, even in the comics, like he was kind of like raised by nuns and then kind of was trying to do the right thing for a while when he was an adult. But like Zatanna was never that. And they do that to her in the show. So it's very interesting. It kind of gave me like the treatment that Runaways kind of got during their first season, where it was a little not quite comic-y, but kind of cool. But the last episode was excellent. And he totally has like the pentagram tattoo on his chest, like, or it's more scars. Cool. Yeah. It that was really like the last scene, like you actually see him look like Hellstrom, and it was cool. Everything else, meh. I didn't know if you guys watched any of it or were curious about it.
No, I did not.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I hate that I can't contribute. I've been binging Avatar and Korra.
Oh, that's fair. I'll be honest, I've mostly been binging ER. So
ER.
Yeah, I just started season 10 this morning.
So. That show's still on?
No, it went 15 seasons. So it ended in like 2010-ish.
Damn. I think.
Yeah. So but Grey's Anatomy still has more episodes. That happened like 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
So all right. So now we're gonna talk to Sora about some cool shit. But first I want to show for the people watching some cool shit that I have that Sora has done that I've picked up mostly at her booth because we are like con buddies. We are drinking after the con buddies. Yeah. We are take Pepper out to pee buddies. Because if you don't know, her dog goes with her to every single show.
He's a con dog.
He's a con dog. It's great. All right. So this is probably one of my favorite things in the world. This is a metal print.
Put that down, babe.
Oh yeah, you're right. My bad. Sorry. But I love it because like the whites just go into like the metal, and to see it as a regular cover is also kind of cool too. But that is actual metal. It's great. I love it. Can't fuck it up. This was some you're right. I can. this was something I had you do at the last WV PopCon, and it is okay. Part of my total obsession with Squirrel Girl and the Great Lakes Avengers. That was awesome.
Because her, she's so much fun to draw. Like, she's cute. And I'm like, can I do more? People need to commission me more for her.
Well, I have more Great Lakes Avengers blanks. Maybe I'll have you do like Dinosaur or Big Bertha next. You know, like Big Bertha, like she's like a supermodel, but her superpower is that she gets really fat and yes. like, heavy and like yeah. indestructible. I love it. I love it. They're like the most ridiculous characters on the planet. I love it. And this was something I also picked up from you. And this was your I keep trying to stop myself because I want to say graphic novel. Technically, there are graphics in here, but it is more novel than graphic novel.
It is illustrated prose. You do get a graphic novel's worth of art in there, though.
Yes.
It's illustrated prose. Yeah.
Yes. All right. So tell everybody, like, you know, where you got your start, what you're doing now. This is kind of your pedestal. I will step back.
Why hello. No. let's see. I read, if we're going to go back to the way before, I read comics when I was a little kid. I started watching the X-Men cartoon on Fox. That was like my introduction to comics.
I recently rewatched that. And
it was so much fun. I was like, yes, it's so cheesy, but still holds up. I will go into a rant about that. Do not get me started. but I was living overseas, so like it was really sporadic. I mean, I know that like they had production issues in the States. It was even worse overseas because I was a military kid, and so all we had was one American station called the Air, or was it Armed Forces Network, AFN. So I really didn't know when the hell that show was going to come on, so I never saw it in order. But anyways, so my brother read comics, and so I started reading his comics, and it was mostly Marvel, mostly X-Men. Some Batman here and there. And then I kind of fell in and out of reading stuff, like especially during high school. I didn't really read much. I was busy being a good little Asian student and getting into trouble. And then I got into college and I started playing a video game that was based on superheroes, and I really enjoyed it. And then
which one was that?
City of Villains and City of Heroes.
Yeah. I remember that game. Yeah.
And so, it was really funny. My boyfriend at the time, who lived in Ohio, he was like, yeah, like this was like when MMOs kind of just like became mainstream. Like there was still like Dark Age of Camelot and other stuff and like EverQuest, but like it wasn't quite becoming mainstream. And I think City of Heroes was like the first like mainstream version, but I just remember it was so funny because I went to go visit him. He was in, uh, I was we were both in college, but he had been a year in, and he was like, yeah, so I'm playing this game and I have to pay $15 a month. And I was like, but you already bought the game. He's like, yes. And I'm like, that makes no sense. Like, it just made zero sense. I'm like, so you paid $50 to buy the game, but you can't even play unless you pay $15 a month. I'm like, that's stupid. That's a scam. Like, I was just refusing to understand the concept. And so he lured me in, because I was always a gamer is the thing, yeah. Right? But he, like, especially a PC gamer, but he, like, lured me in because he was like, hey, create a character on this character creation screen. And I was like, yeah, all right, whatever. So, and then I was just like, MMOs are amazing! So, anyways, but Top Cow at the time was publishing the comic book that was in conjunction to the game.
Yeah.
And so you could, like, submit fan art. So go to, like, in the back of the little comic book or whatever. So I submitted multiple times because I drew my own characters. And I ended up going to their website to read it because I was a cheap, broke-ass college student, so I couldn't buy the damn book. Like, so I could just read it for free online. And so I read it. I was like, oh, look, there I am. I always make the joke that, like, technically Top Cow published me first, even though that's complete bullshit. So I stumbled across Michael Turner's artwork and Mark Silvestri's artwork, and I was just like, holy shit, they're so good. I want to, like, it was so pretty and mesmerizing. And I was like, oh, I want to draw like them. But I knew nothing about comics other than the content of comics. And even then I had a very limited exposure. And so I went back to school, but I had missed matriculation for that fall. And so I went to go work at Starbucks, and randomly a regular at the local Starbucks was Bob Layton.
And, no way.
Yeah. And so it was actually really funny. So what happens is that, like, the very first day that I'm like, I'm already hired, but I'm like onboarding. So I'm like sitting at a table with my manager, who, God bless, I can't remember her name now, but I owe her everything, is that, which is horrible. But like, I was sitting down with her, and this guy walks in, and he's like chummy with the entire store. And I'm like, okay, that's like just some weird guy who's like friends with people because he has no other friends. Like, that was my, you know, 20-year-old brain working.
Right.
But right before he came in, she asked me, so what is it that you really want to do? Because at the time, nobody aspired to be a barista. And so I was like, I want to be a comic book artist, not knowing anything about it. And she was like, cool. And then the guy walks in, and then he walks out after getting his cup of coffee. And she's like, yeah, so that's like Bob Layton. He's like some famous comic book guy or something. I didn't know who the fuck he was because, again, I never paid attention until Turner and Silvestri. I never paid attention to anybody's names. I just would read the stories and enjoy the art. And so I went home, I Googled, I was like, oh my God, like, this is an opportunity. So like every day before work, I'd like prime myself in the mirror, like, you're gonna talk to him today. You are going to talk to him today. Did not happen. 2 months go by, I did not have the balls to talk to him because, believe it or not, everyone likes to think that I'm like really outgoing and like super, I'm like, I'm actually really shy. Like, I have anxiety. So my manager, realizing that it had been 2 months and I still hadn't talked to the guy, she just talked to him for me when I wasn't working. And so the next time he came in, I was at the cash register, and he was like, so I heard you want to be a comic book artist. And I was like, uh-huh. And he was like, cool. So like, do you have like a portfolio? I'm like, I have drawings. Like,
I has drawings. Look at stick figure. Like, you just turned into Borat all of a sudden.
yes. And the Iken has cheeseburger cat. No, bring it back old school there. So he was like, cool. Well, when's your next day off? I was like, tomorrow. He was like, why don't you come meet me here and you can show me a portfolio, da 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 da. So I was like, okay. So I like live walking distance from the Starbucks. So I took my big ass little portfolio. That was actually my mom's like art case. I just like shoved my shit in there and like, you know, hauled it over to the Starbucks. And he sat down with me and he like blew my mind in like 20 minutes, like giving me a quick little, this is light sourcing, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, you need some work. Your lines are really sketchy, but I can bring you on as like an inking apprentice if you're interested, da, 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 da. And I was like, okay. Like, I didn't understand, one, the gravity of that offer, or two, like, you know, what all that meant. And so I got a real hard crash course in everything that is in production of comics and like behind the scenes of comics from him in the 2 years that I was apprenticing with him. It was crazy, but that's how I actually got started in comics. And he was a really good mentor. I mean, he did his job. Like, he taught me a lot of things, you know. I'm very thankful to him. And he introduced, I mean, you know, part of the mentor's job is like you go to cons with them and they introduce you to everybody that they know. And so I was introduced to just like, I remember I had a beer with Joe Quesada, like at a Marvel party. And I'm like,
I probably would be too. So it's
okay. It was so ridiculous. Like the bizarre opportunities that I was allotted during that time. I look back on it. I was 20. I like didn't know shit. So like, I look back on it now. I'm like, man, I should have fucking like taken advantage of that. I didn't at all. So, yeah, and actually my first like legit credit is a logo design for Marvel.
Yeah,
I did a couple of logo designs for them. Like, I got paid. That's like
awesome.
Yeah, but it's I've had kind of a weird backwards career. Anyway, so then I went to California, did some work out there, and then I left comics, got married, that didn't work out, got divorced, came back to comics, and I've been thriving ever since. So there you
That's
go.
Awesome.
there's my career story.
I was going to say, I think I've known you now for, 5, 6 years, probably?
I think 5 years.
Yeah.
I met you pretty much as soon as I came up to this area.
Okay. Because it was also, I actually think I first met you actually at New York. Because I was helping out at the Action Lab booth. And Brian was like Brian Seaton, who runs Action Lab, was like, hey, can you take like, all of these covers to Artist Alley and take this amount to Sora and this amount to Jeremy. And I'm like,
yeah,
I've never met either of these people, but cool. So off I go, like trucking. I think that was the last year they had it in the other side, or the first year it was downstairs.
It was the first year in the basement.
Okay. Okay.
We're all sweating our asses off.
It was awful.
Oh, it was horrible.
Everybody who got anything signed, like the ink just dripped off by the time they got out of the room. It was awful.
So bad.
Oh, I remember Justin Jordan just being like, I'm leaving, it's too hot. And he just kept walking around. Like, I'd find him in the food court.
Justin's awesome.
Right. So I got to meet you and Jeremy that year. That was awesome. And you did a lot of the exclusive covers and some of the regular covers, I believe, for Princeless, right?
It was for Raven the Pirate Princess.
Right. Well, yeah.
I did a guest spot interior work on Princeless, though.
Oh, that's awesome.
It might have been Raven. I don't remember. I had to look at it. I have it. I have this drawer that's now packed. I have this little drawer in my toolbox that I put all like my comps that I'm keeping. Like, I keep one of everything, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to eventually like create this huge wall display of whatever, eventually. And, that's awesome. But I can't like, I can't barely open the damn drawer now. Like, I mean, it was a good problem to have, but I'm like, I need a better system than this.
I need more drawers.
Like, give me a more short drawer. The drawer keeps it safe. I'm scared if I get a short box, I'll spill something on it, or like, it just freaks me out. So like, I need to get a short box though. Like, it's too much at this point.
So good. I just remember seeing that cover though and just being like, holy shit, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then to be like, oh, you're in Pittsburgh. Then we just started hanging out. It was awesome. Yeah.
And Kate, who colored all those covers, she's also Pittsburgh. She's the reason I moved to Pittsburgh, actually.
Yeah, she actually lives near our Elwood store.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like, I think in Newcastle, right?
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. She's amazing.
I still don't think I've actually met her in person. No, I did. She came to Three Rivers for one day, I think.
No, she came to Free Comic Book Day.
Right. Down at the waterfront.
Yes.
Right. Okay, cool. That was awesome. Like, you know, and I know all the guys down at the waterfront are absolute fans as well. I'm pretty sure Tim's the one who wrote City of Villains exclamation point and was logged in under the store's name in the face or in the comments in the event, which was hilarious. So, all right. So you have original work. We kind of talked about Carnal a little bit. And then your second work was Aurora. And yes, So for those people who have never done a Kickstarter, because this is a great segue into her Kickstarter that started yesterday. This is my Aurora Kickstarter. I don't remember how much I paid on this. Probably somewhere around like $40. We're going to find out. Maybe Sora will remember by how much crap I have in here.
No. I mean, if I see the cover, I'll be able to tell you who it is.
That's fair. But I did buy the preview book at New York last year. And I got to watch the trailer that you had made for. So cool.
You had the beta trailer, though, like that still had like stuff was missing. So it was like action shot.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then it was funny because like you had basically like a mini bar in your your booth.
I know my fans like drop off booze at my booth all the time.
Oh, it's awesome. That's one of the reasons why we hang out a lot. That.
Well, okay. To be fair, it's like normally everyone knows I love rosé, so they'll bring me like different types of rosé, and I don't drink it at the show. I'll take it home or whatever.
Right.
But like at New York, I have a buddy, and he constantly brings me bourbon. Like
that's cool. I can't say that that's bad because I'm a bourbon guy. So, I'm pretty sure I drank some of your bourbon. So this is awesome. There's a little thank you for your support note.
Anybody's name who I recognized, I put
it. I was going to say, I'm hoping that that's like just for me, but probably not.
Basically everyone whose name I could consciously recognize.
It's probably Brett's signature. It's not even yours. So full regular cover.
The standard one, yeah.
Yep. Ooh, that's cool. Certified, hand signed. Boom. Look at all this cool swag. Wait, oh my god, this is awesome. This is the coolest thing ever. I got a pepper sticker.
That's a bonus.
So that's awesome.
That was gonna get unlocked later, but we didn't hit the whatever the stretch goal was.
Oh, and nice.
My writer Wes, who wrote Aurora with me, he his girlfriend was like, I really wanted that pepper sticker. So
oh no,
from Canada, and he's like, hey, so he knows me.
It's all right. You froze for a second.
Oh.
And then Chibi Aurora. I'm just going through this thing while you're talking. This is awesome.
So his girlfriend, so he calls me from Canada and he's like, hey, so can you make those pepper stickers? Because Cassandra really wants one. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, fuck it. So I just like, it's a bonus to everybody. I just made the whole run of the pepper stickers as a bonus.
I think this is really cool. This like trading card almost. And it's like almost a negative effect on the back. That's
yeah,
really
I did
sweet.
That. I did that on Carnal, where I did basically a noir on the back of the trading card, of the collector card. So like only the red was colored in.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about yet another lanyard. So
believe it or not, my current Kickstarter, I do not have a lanyard because I was like, no lanyards this time.
What?
Well, it's
oh, check this out. I only paid $15 for this package. So, according to this receipt. So, and this is a lot of crazy shit. And
that little postcard.
Yeah.
That actually has a discount code on it.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I should have used that today when I backed your new one.
No, it only works on my store.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll probably have to buy some cool prints. Because I was on there earlier today and was like, ooh, stuff I haven't seen in a while. All right, let's see what this is.
I'm so bad.
And that's a print. Oh, come on. Stupid knife. You really like, I will say this is probably one of the most awesomely packed Kickstarters I've ever seen. Like, this is really well protected.
Yeah.
And there's an awesome Aurora poster.
Signed. Cool.
So that is awesome. Thank mm-hmm. you for all this stuff. I am glad to help you out.
Thank you.
Well, where can you go for this Kickstarter? Plug it.
Well, Aurora is closed.
Your next one, I meant. I'm sorry.
The current one, which is my art book, that one is, Oh God, there's no like short link. Where can I, send you? Oh, I don't know.
You can post it into the comments of this event, but if they go to, if they search for you on social media, it's an all over your social media. Yeah. So it's just at Sora Sung, right?
Yes, but I think I'll be able to find this Sora Sung Sinners Kickstarter and then just find the link and I'll post it. Here we go.
Cool. Yeah, it's called Saints and Sinners, right?
Yes, it's Saints and Sinners. It's an art book. Hold on, I'm going to do this little chatty thing, and there we go. Cool. So it's Saints and Sinners. It's an art book. I had been asking Brett about doing an art, and Brett's my manager. I've been asking him about doing an art book for the last couple of, few years, and he's just like, yeah, you've not done enough work, so no. you've not done enough covers, so no. So finally... because we started releasing Carnal Confessions by chapter through Unknown Comics, they're distributing it directly to stores. They asked to delay the production of Carnal 2. And right. So, I that's why I started the Patreon. And, so I could start delaying that book a little bit more. And so they could catch up basically with the story, because they really wanted to go to the whole, single issues and then the trade Kickstarter kind of a concept anyways. And so, I was like, I was going to be running the Kickstarter this end of summer for Carnal. And I was like, what am I going to do? And so I was like, hey, can we do an art book? He's like, yeah, you've done enough work now. I was like, sweet. So, I have to get permission. It's so bad. So
Dad, I really want to do this art book.
my patrons call him Mr. Business, because I constantly will like get drunk on the Discord chat and I'll be like, I want to show you guys what I'm working on. He's like, you're not allowed to. Fine.
Yeah.
He has his own Discord emoji of him looking like consternated. Anyways, so I decided to do. I know, Brett's like the nicest guy.
I know. That's so funny.
But he, did you see my post yesterday, where I was like, I don't know if we should be like doing hourly countdown like we did for Carnal and Aurora. That was like a lot. And he's like, what do we do? I was like, 9 hours, like for 9 hours. And he's like, cool, do six. And I was like, what about three? He's like, six. I'm like, but he's like, I said six.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
I just went back because I feel like I'm spamming, but he's like, it's your work. You got to promote it. I'm like, okay.
Did he at least yell at you in those super comfy pants?
Oh my God. I have a pair that matches. So, did you ever meet Phoebe? You had to have met Phoebe that first year in New York. Yeah. So Phoebe, who is my daughter, she's a few years younger than me, but she calls me mom because I when we first met, I was going through a divorce and get super drunk and talk to her, and we'd be hanging out and I'd give her like life advice. Don't ever compromise yourself for a man. Like that was like me being drunk mom. And so she started calling me mom. Anyways, so she comes up here for every Christmas, and we tend to like, we treat her like she's our daughter. And so we will like buy her presents, and like, we tend to like do like photo, like family photos and things. Like, so last year it was like Lumberjack, but that year we did like a Star Wars black and white theme. That's why we had the pants, because I have a matching pair instead of Phoebe.
That's
of the fuzzy pants. Yeah. So.
Oh. Yeah. I saw those in that picture where she was out there outside with Pepper, I think, probably drinking coffee, and I was just like, those pants are amazing.
Target, they're super comfy. I think we got them for like 10 bucks a pop, but that was a couple of years ago. But anyhow, awesome. So I started to do the as I was putting this art book together, I was really kind of blanking on what I should do, you know, thematically, because I'm just so used to doing things thematically, you know, with Carnal and then with Aurora. So I was like, how am I gonna, like, what am I doing? And I said, and I really thought about, like, you know, what got me started in comics, and really what started like my desire to be an artist in comics was because of Michael Turner. Mm-hmm. And because after I'd seen Turner's work, I mean, I just like went nuts and consumed everything that he like ever touched. And so that sounds really close, but like, I meant artistically, don't kink shame me. But like, I, So artistically, and so, and that was like also near the height of his like working. So, and I think it was, I mean, retrospectively, I think it was before his diagnosis. And so like, so he was on fucking everything. He was on everything that Marvel was doing, everything that DC was doing. And then he had, was doing all the Aspen stuff. And I was just like, Jesus. So my broke ass spent way too much money buying all the things that was Turner. Anyways, so I was thought, you know what? I think I was like, I really want to, since he was literally the inspiration and the, like, I wanted to do what he was doing. So I dedicated my art book to him. So, and I did homages. And so Kate was coming, helping me with the covers, and Kate's a huge Turner fan as well. And, you know, she loves Peter Steigerwald's work and whatever. So she was just like, yay. So
that's awesome. Actually, that was the cover that I backed. The homage to Turner cover.
They're all homages.
Like there's one that very specifically just states that, and then there's one that's like the Saints cover, and then there's the Sinners cover, and then there's one that's like not. Whatever it was, like whatever the very first option was, it's like the upgraded package of that exact option is the package I went with.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it's all good.
We still can't see you though.
Nah, it's all right.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, all three. All. I mean, there's technically a variant of the main cover, but they're all homages. I mean, the main cover, which is the Disciples cover, that one I based it off of I put it in the the graphic side of the Kickstarter, but like I show the piece that I was, you know, homaging. That one's a little bit of a looser homage than the Saints and the Sinners cover. But yeah, and I call it Saints and Sinners because one, I like alliteration, and two, all my stuff is, you know, good guys and bad guys. So I was like, why the fuck not? But I do, I'm not allowed, I'm disallowed. I wanted to tell you guys like what my next year's art book is. I'm actually going to be doing specific pieces for that art book versus this one, which is like a collection of my work that I've previously done. With a couple of new pieces, but like the next one, I'm actually going to have like brand new pieces with themes and everything. But Brett said, I'm not allowed to tell you guys what the theme is. So
it's all good.
Sorry. I apologize.
Damn you, Brett. No, I'll get him talking. I'll get him talking with some beers over quarter books or something, and he'll tell me. It'll be all right.
Oh, next time he goes up there with Chris? Are you there when he goes up there with Chris?
So I was there. We started doing this thing for the dollar sale where for the basement that we started doing these early bird specials. Mm-hmm. So we, for an extra $25, you commit to the box for $250, you pay the extra $25 to commit to it, and you get a day earlier than just being there with everybody. So I had to go babysit the basement because we don't have our whole staff back. So somebody had to be there with them. Right. So I was there. Chris happened to be there. And then he's like, oh yeah, I'm meeting Brett for lunch because he's down at the VFW taking dollar or quarter books. And I'm like, oh, cool. So, like, eventually everybody merged together. We had pizza in the park. It was a good time. And that's actually when I pitched him this idea because I was trying to get people's point of views who are in the industry to see if this is something that we think is worth doing in general. And then it happened to be like, he was like, oh, yeah, well, she has a Kickstarter coming out soon, and maybe we can make it work out. And When I reached out a couple weeks ago, he's like, actually, her Kickstarter is the day before, so this is going to be perfect.
Oh, sweet. Like,
awesome.
Everything lined up. The stars aligned.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. It was really nice though. Like, I love Brett though. He's one of my favorite people in the entire world to hang out with.
Here's Bernie. No. Oh, he's talking about you.
I love you, Brett.
He's wearing the comfy pants.
Sweet. Yeah. Yeah. Check these out. Look at those, Bo. How about that? And they're Star Wars. I can't see.
They're Star Wars. Hold on.
All those are cool. I can see. Those are cool.
Right? Those are super awesome. Oh, man. So your Kickstarter already hit what you needed in 5 minutes, which was
Yeah, that was crazy. I was on an interview last night and which was weird. And I didn't drink wine. I was impressed with myself. So I wasn't like, because I'm usually.
You didn't
like,
have time. 5 minutes.
Oh my, well, no, I mean, like, because normally when I do interviews, although I've been giving myself a break, which I've been doing okay at the interviews, I think Brett says I'm fine, but whatever. I have social anxiety. And so like, I usually have, you know, a couple glasses of wine during the interview. And I didn't have one yesterday, which was crazy because I was on with like, you know, Fran Polito and Amanda Connor and Trina Robbins. Like, I mean, just like, okay, cool. And it was really awkward because I got asked like, when did you stop doing comics? And when did you become like influential? And I'm like, do I even qualify? Like, Jesus, like look who I'm around. Like, this is so ridiculous.
You're hanging out with us. So, I mean, that's really not.
Of course they asked me that question, like the least experienced fuck on that panel. So like, it was like shit. So it was great though. It was really fun. I think this is so it was like 5 minutes. It got funded. I was floored. I really didn't know. It's, you know, when I do a Kickstarter normally for like Aurora or Cornell, I have like, you know, a Mike DeBelfo cover and like a Jamie Tyndall cover and like a Ryan Kincaid cover. So like I'm like, oh, they're like those fans are coming in to buy those beautiful covers from me. So I'm like, I don't know how many of that is actually like they like my shit. You know what I mean? So I have zero gauge on this.
Right.
So when everything got funded, I just like, I mean, I think we're at like 20, I think we're close to 24,000 or 25,000.
That's crazy.
Right now within 24 hours, which is like.
And it still has like 29 days to go.
Yeah, but I mean, the reality of Kickstarters is that like the first, it's, oh, hi, Bina. Oh, hi, Ben. I know these people. No, but like the first like couple of days is like, that's your big kick, right? Mm-hmm. And then it usually like just plateaus and dies, like, or like straight the fuck up dies over the course of the majority of the campaign. And then right before the campaign ends, you'll get another spike because everyone's like, oh shit, I don't want to like miss out on this kind of a thing. So I don't think like, I mean, fingers crossed, it'd be cool if we just kept going. But like, realistically, I don't think. I think that we've like, this is going to be a big jump and then we'll have a little spike at the end. So yeah. I'm happy. Like I literally asked Brett, it's like every Kickstarter, I'm always like, what do you think we can make like realistically? What do you think we're going to do? And like with Carnal, we had no fucking clue, like, because it was illustrated prose. It wasn't a comic book. Mm-hmm. We just had no clue what was going to happen. And, you know, that one did bonkers. And so I was like, because I honestly was like, you know, if we make $10,000 on Carnal, then we make our money back and it's proof of concept and we can push forward and blah. I was being, yeah. I had no expectations, like super. You remember, I think I talked to you before the we were in Chicago. That's right.
Yeah. And yep. Sick.
And I was like, oh, I have no idea, like, whatever. And then, yeah, and then it did crazy. And same thing happened with Aurora, where I was like, I don't know. I'm like, as long as I make my money back, I guess I'm okay.
Breaking even, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I got to break even and we're good to go. Right. And it's like I didn't spend any money, right? So it did really well. I was very pleased with it. And we're already, George is already working on issue 2 right now. It's awesome. We hit the ground running. You know, the first book of an actual comic book, it's like, you got to fit so much exposition in establishing everything without like boring your reader to death. So it's not like a novel where you can like, you know, work it in beautifully. No, it's like, you've got X amount of pages. That's the fuck it. Like you're like, you got to do it. So, right. But fortunately, Wes successfully did that in the first book. And so on issue 2, it's issue 2, but we're not calling it issue 2. Mm-hmm. But it is, we're hitting the ground running. And actually, I'm going to say this and Brett can get mad at me later. The story started to get so meaty as we were writing it. Oh, he's walking in here.
That's right. Shut up! Everybody shut up!
As I broadcast this, right? To like, this is public.
He's in the other room watching the live stream. You know this.
Understanding the second book.
Okay.
Yeah, is that okay?
Oh, you're leaking.
Yes, I'm leaking the information. Is that okay?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna give away the story.
No, anyway, so the story started getting so meaty, and I got into a long phone conversation with Wes about it, because I was like, I know you have X amount of pages left to do what we plotted and what we planned. I was like, but I really feel like we need to spend more time with these characters. One of the things that we got, you know, feedback from fans and the readership was that they wanted to spend more time with the characters because they're brand new characters. They don't know the characters yet. So I was like, how do you feel about scrapping? Because we've already plotted out like X amount of books like this. We know exactly where the story is going. And I was like, how do you feel about merging, you know, that plot point from book three, but we actually technically expand book two into two separate books. So it's going to be a rare two-parter, but the way that we're doing production, we are going to have everything lined up, so that way as soon as we do the Aurora Kickstarter for the next book, we're going to be able to do fulfillment and immediately do a Kickstarter for that, for the second part of it. Awesome. Versus like waiting 6 months kind of a thing. Like this would be like back to back, but like 3 month gap kind of a thing. So
that's pretty good though. So
yeah, I mean, for, you know, a little indie whatever, I mean, we're the only people fulfilling this book until Aurora does like carnal numbers. I'm not going to go to Brian Polito and be like, fulfill my book, please. Until then, because I can do it on my own. But like, if it gets to carnal levels again, I'm going to be like, hi, Brian. Yeah.
All right. So we started this thing since we're now having guests where I've come up with fun questions. Okay. The first one is, if you could pick any book, mainstream or indie, to work on that you have not worked on yet, what would it be?
Either I actually have a story, but it'd either be Black Widow or Captain America. Yes,
I would totally check that out, considering I know your love of America's ass.
I do. I have a love of that. No, I'd be respectful. It wouldn't just be porn, let's be honest.
Right? Uh-huh. Just massive
butt shots of Steve Rogers. Every panel, it's like a 9-panel page. Just every panel is a different butt angle.
It's just Captain America, America's Ass by Soros.
Oh my God. It would sell.
It would. Marvel, where are you to give all the money? Get all the money.
I am the queen of beefcake. Make this happen.
All right. My second question is, if you had a dream collaborator to work on a project with, who would it be? And they can be dead, because that'll be Michael Turner.
Yes. That would be my answer. Yeah, that's a great answer, because it's a great answer on two levels. One, it's true, and two, that way I do not alienate any of my friends. So there we go.
That's fair. That's a great answer. All right.
To be fair, I do get to work already with a lot of people who I'm like legitimately fangirls of. So like, it's pretty awesome. Like I'm in a very fortunate position. And I'm very lucky that they, like, you know, will grace their beautiful work on my silly little books.
It's you know what, the more I get into this industry on both sides of it, the more I understand that there really is like a camaraderie, and a lot more creators are more humble than people think they are. And they really just want to hang out and do new things and just literally like throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks, more so than, you know, be like, I only want to do X-Men.
I mean, there are pretentious people in this industry. Do not kid yourself.
No, yeah.
But I would say, and it's so interesting too, because it's like, you know, I've had beers with Joe Quesada. I met Stan Lee, you know, randomly at an art show. Like it's way back in the day. This was before cons blew up, before Marvel blew up. So the world was very, very decent, or, you know, very different. And so you had this kind of bizarre access to these rock star creators. Mm-hmm. But since the industry has changed and since Hollywood's gotten more involved, now there's definitely like a much harsher tiered system in the biz. And to me, it's laughable, because I'm just like, I've had beers with you. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, you got drunk and practically pissed yourself like at this bar. Like, okay, like you're so fancy. Not that I will name names. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the things I miss about shows is like when you know where everybody's hanging out,
yeah,
you're just one of the guys hanging out. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. I have one last question. And this is funny because you and I have had a conversation about this.
Uh-oh.
But it's very interesting. So you're going to have to explain what it is to people before you can actually answer it. So it is, what is underbutt and who draws it the best?
It's first of all, it's under booty. So
oh, sorry. Under booty. if you have an example of which sitting near you that you can show people so they understand it.
Why? Hold on. I actually have Turner's book here. He actually might, if I could find it, because I'm pretty sure. Well, see, my initial love of underbooty comes from anime, because anime loves the underbooty. Like, they love thigh gap and showing underbooty. And for me, that's like a thing. Not everybody does it. Anytime somebody does do it, I get super excited about it. I can't. It takes too long for me to scroll through and find something. Scroll through. Okay. As I'm flipping a book, scroll through. Jesus.
Flip through. You're flipping through.
Flip through. Anyways, underbutt is when you're looking at a woman from a front-ish angle. And mm-hmm. You can't really do a dude. They have too big of thighs. So like, it's a front-ish angle. And what? Okay, don't go away. It's a frontish angle, and their legs have to be, you know, akimbo, or there has to be a thigh gap, and you from that angle you can, even if it's straight on, if it's from above not so much, but if it's straight on or underneath, you can actually see the anatomy is such that you can actually see a little bit of a curvature of their butt in that thigh gap or the spread leg. And so I call it under booty. It's kind of like, And for some reason, it's correct anatomy, but it's sexy, but not in a very overt way. It's not like cleavage or like side boob. Like, it's like, anyway, I love the anatomy, the accurate anatomy of it. I mean, when it's done right. So, and it kind of just insinuates, even though you can't see that butt, it insinuates.
There you go.
Bubble butt, right?
Kind of like that from The Waking.
Yeah, there you go.
It's hard to see.
I can't see. I'm like, what's
going on? It's very hard to see. It's a dark picture.
Actually, so here's like a, so sort of the same idea. On the cover of Carnal, you can see like extra thigh, like,
yeah,
the other,
okay,
thigh.
That's
so,
the same concept.
Yeah, yeah.
The same concept, yes. But yeah, there's plenty of people who do great underbooty though. I know Mike DeBalfo is one of them.
Yeah.
I will always, I mean, myself in the sense that I will always draw under booty if the occasion calls for it. oh, actually, hold on. This is an old ass sketch, but.
Oh, there it is. Boom.
There you go. So, awesome. Yeah, it's an anatomy thing and I love it. But yeah, I think it's really funny that everyone's like focused on the fact that I have somehow brought attention to the underbooty. And so, yeah, there's like everyone who sees underbooty, they'll tag me. Check out this underbooty, Sora. And it's like, yes, it's hot. It's awesome. It's so ridiculous.
I just remember being like, I love people that do that. Cause Linsner does that.
Yes.
He's very good at that. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys that work for Dynamite that do covers,
yeah,
Are very, very.
Perillo does.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Dynamite, Thread Sonya, Vampirella.
Frank Cho even does underbooty. Like I said, yeah, it's anatomy, anatomically accurate.
Yeah.
So if the position calls for it, it's anatomical. And so for me, I'm just like, yes. And like I said, it's like the hint of being sexy without being overtly sexual. So because it's just anatomy, that's all it is. And so yeah, I love the underbooty. I am pro underbooty. Yeah, I mean, under butt works too, but I feel like under booty sounds more.
That's
fun.
Fair. That's yeah. Fair.
Yeah,
it's totally fair. So, all right. I think that's pretty much all the time we have. But
we're ending on the under booty.
We're ending on the under booty. Bo, do you have anything else?
Nah, I'm good.
You've been quiet this whole time. It's been.
No, I just listen to y'all talk and whatnot. So.
So see,
I'm an active listener. That's why I'm on the channel, to actively listen to you.
He's here for the comics. He doesn't care about anything else.
Oh, are you married?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, oh, am I married?
Yeah.
No, no, oh. No, 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 no.
That's a good husband, active listening.
No, no.
That's probably why my wife's downstairs. No. My dogs are right here, though. What does that say? But next week we have Sean Gabbron coming on to talk about what he's doing now. And then the week after that, we have Justin Birch, all people that Sora has worked with at some point. But those two weeks will be at 7 o'clock. We hope everybody's enjoying the live version of the podcast. I think we're having a little bit of fun with this. We had a great first trial with Matt last week. Even though it took us a minute to get the video to work right. But it was great. And actually I realized that you had done a Valiant cover after that. Like you did that Ninjak. Yeah, the Ninjak number one or the Ninja K, I believe it was actually.
I don't know. I mean, I've always said Ninjak, but like apparently it's Ninja K, and I'm like, I worked for Bob. You think I would fucking know? Like
so they really pushed it as Ninja K during that series, because the idea was that he was the whatever number the letter K is in the alphabet. There was Ninja A, Ninja B, Ninja C before mm-hmm. him, and he was Ninja K, and that was the idea.
When I was working for Bob, I ended up reading like all of who's the guy I can't think of his name because of wine, the guy with the Japanese
Bloodshot.
Thank you. I read like all of his
or Rye.
Right. That's the one.
Yeah.
I read all of like Rye's stuff like from the 90s Valiant. I like read that whole run.
That's awesome.
That was my homework. Well, he had them lying around the studio, so I was like, fuck it, I'm reading these.
That's fair. I mean, 90s Rye was pretty good. So,
I really like the story actually. So
that's awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sora, for coming on and hanging out with us. I miss Absolutely. You. I know, your face. Yeah, soon we'll be able to hang out and have high fives, and it'll be great. I miss high fives. There's the elbow bump. Yeah. So. All right, cool.
Thank you for having me, Bo. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. This is pretty much it for the Toddcast. I am John every week. With me, as always, is Bo. And our special guest was Sora. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks everybody who watched and will be listening to this on iTunes and Spotify. We will catch you later and see you next week with Sean Gabbron. Bye.